His name was William Swenson. And at the time, he was a captain in the United States Army, stationed in Afghanistan. It was September of 2009. And local leaders in that place were attempting talks to sort of rebuild their community and to figure out how to resist those who had earlier on destroyed their villages and killed members of their community. Captain Swenson's job was to help provide security for this important meeting. It was an ambush. They came under attack, and members of Swenson's team were overwhelmed by Taliban fighters, and there were heavy casualties all around. As commanding officer, Swenson radioed for help and asked for an evacuation helicopter. And at significant risk to his own life and safety, he starts to drag members of his team back to the helicopter so that they can get away. There's a picture here of Swenson. He's the one that with that red, looks like a flag or a sash. I wonder if he had that in order for members of his own team to be able to see him, but of course that meant what? So could everybody else. So could those who were enemies. And because there was a GoPro camera mounted to the helmet of the helicopter pilot, there's raw video of all this that I don't want to show you. But they came under fire, and there were bullets and blood. The enemy firing automatic weapons just 30 yards away. Among those that Swenson helped onto the helicopter was a soldier named Westbrook. And this next one is Westbrook. He's the one in the middle. Westbrook had been hit in the neck and in the chest. And they struggled to get him to the helicopter in order to get him loaded on board. And then in a totally unexpected gesture of care, of devotion, Swenson kisses Westbrook on the forehead. Why would he do that? Thanks, Kim. What drives that kind of behavior? Here, this 28-year-old guy, so far from home in this impossible situation, in grave danger of being killed himself, he runs back and forth and back and forth to drag soldier after soldier there to the helicopter in order that they could be helped and evacuated from the scene. What makes anyone behave that way? To take a risk and endure injury, to sacrifice oneself for the sake of another. Simon Sinek interviewed Swenson and the other men who were there and others who along the way have behaved like him. And that was his question too. He would ask that question, why? What makes this happen? Why on earth would you do this? And Sinek says that virtually every time somebody responds that he gets this answer that is roughly the same. And I bet you already know what the answer is. Why would you do that? They all say something like this, because I know they would do it for me. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends." All right, question. Maybe we'll do it by vote, okay? So try a thumb up. That means you're voting one way, and then thumbs down, that's voting the other way. Okay, you ready? So human beings are innately selfish. Human beings are innately selfless. Some need two thumbs. Let's try it again. Human beings are innately preoccupied with their own well-being. Human beings are innately devoted to the well-being of others. See, I'm still going like that too. One more. Human beings are hardwired to care for themselves. Human beings are hardwired to think of others. Well, you see the game I'm playing with you. What's the right answer? We're both those things. Maybe it depends on what day you ask. Depends on circumstances. The anthropologists like to remind us that we have deep in our DNA those who have gone way, way, way before us, right? Those distant ancestors, eons ago, Homo sapiens discovered something very important together. And if you think about it, living there in that time, in that place, this very, very dangerous kind of a world, filled with forces trying to shorten their lifespan, filled with forces ready to kill them, maybe bad weather, maybe lack of resources, maybe accidents, you know, falling off ladders, stuff like that, or predators, everything bent on reducing their already brief lifespan. What did those early humans figure out? They realized the tremendous benefit of hanging out in groups. They could watch out for each other. They could take turns. We don't think about it, but you could sleep. Why? Because somebody else was going to stay awake, watch the opening to the cave while you snored. We, all of us, evolved into beings, into social animals, dependent and trusting and devoted to one another. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends." Now, if you read further on in John's gospel, you discover something. You see this little circle, this little gathered community, this band of brothers, if you will. It all starts to collapse. And everything that they thought they had together seems to come apart. And by chapter 17, even as Jesus is praying for his disciples, for his followers, someone arrives. Someone comes, and there is a contingent from the temple guard. And what does Judas do? Is it a kiss of love and affection for a comrade? Or is it a kiss of betrayal? Or is it both? Then just a few verses later, it's Peter himself who's confronted in the public square. Even as Jesus is being tortured in the palace, just blocks away, Peter, well, what does he do? He denies, not once, not twice, but three times. Love between friends, love in the face of betrayal and denial. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you," what? "Love one another." Then what? "Even as I have loved you, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And who are my friends? Oh, you are. You are. Carla and I hold hands sometimes. Really, still, we do. 35 years. Well, actually, we don't hold hands. We hold pinkies, because your hand gets kind of sweaty. I don't know, I guess. So we do pinkies. And I've noticed over the years that we do that more often when there's more people around. I mean, you get kind of clumped and bunched together, and, you know, there's elbows, and, you know, we do that. And you know, she'll grab my little finger, and I say, "Oh, you don't want to lose me," I say, and then she says, "Nah, I just don't want to have to come looking for you." I wonder if you recognize this person. The one in the middle. They're holding hands. Maybe they did the pinky thing. That's Coretta and Martin. 10 years before he was shot down by the forces of bigotry and hatred and this sort of ugly, evil spirit of white supremacy, The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was the pastor at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. That same year, he was elected president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. In 1957, he gave 208 speeches. In 1958, his first book was called Stride Toward Freedom. And this is what he wrote. Love. Love is creative and redemptive. Love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys. The aftermath of the fight with fire method, which you suggest, is bitterness and chaos. But the aftermath of the love method is reconciliation and creation of the beloved community. Physical force can repress and restrain and coerce and destroy, but it can't create and organize anything permanent. Only love can do that. Yep. Love. Love, which means understanding and creative, redemptive goodwill, even for one's enemies. Love is the solution to the race problem. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. Martin Luther King Jr. used to like to call us the beloved community, a group, a crowd, folks living in a cave, ones defined by mutual care, characterized by love, a movement whose ethic is love, driven by the love of God, to show love for friends, yes, and even to show love for enemies. Love for those who would harm us and hate us, and love for those who would deny and decry, for those who would betray with a kiss, and for those who would rescue with a kiss. Do you recognize this person? Not the one in the back, but the one in the front. This is Army Captain William Swenson. This is a few years later. This is October the 15th, 2013. And can you tell, do you know what they're putting around his neck? The Medal of Honor. And you don't get one of those easy. For acts of valor on the battlefield, it reads, maybe in all the battlefields of our own lives, we would do well to remember love. A love that will not stop. A love that will face any danger, a love that will die and rise again, a love that calls us friends in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.